All right, so continuing on our little investigation into the native world, we're with Tony Goodhue today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, man.
Thanks for coming over and doing the interview. I think the last time I was on Channel 9 was when we were doing AUKUS planning back, who knows when, back in sort of 2007 or 2006. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the inside baseball stuff, I guess. How we do, what our thinking of it is, where we're sort of, trying to get to with our community model, community engagement and some transparency stuff, maybe some stats. I can't share data, but I can quote.
Cool. So, something that's interesting, one of the very interesting things that Mohsen said, among the many interesting things he said in the interview, was this notion of native developers as the dark matter of the developer universe, meaning they're everywhere, but we can't necessarily see them.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
That was a really interesting quote. I honestly did not set it up with Mohsen for him to point that out. Mohsen had a heartfelt belief that the research numbers that we use to plan and build our products didn't reflect the vast array of C++ developers that were really out there. And to give you some idea, we spend a phenomenal amount of money, sort of in the millions, in terms of conducting direct developer research. And we call it the developer tracking system. It used to be called Dev Tracker, and it's been running since I think 95.
Okay.
And it's the data, the numbers that we bet our business on. We sit down and say, okay, 78% of developers are on .NET Framework, current minus one version, and that helps us to plan the product. Mm-hmm. And we had always seen, we didn't see this wealth of C++ numbers come through in that study. So over the last few years, we've had a team here that worked on re-sort of architecting how we do our survey, how we reach customers, what are the size of our markets, and this sort of thing. And just towards the end of last year, start of this year, sort of in January, February, yeah. I'm thinking, please, is it September yet? Some of the data came through in a draft sense, and we've now actually got final data for our half survey from the end of last year. And we see phenomenal C++ numbers now. I have a slide up here because I can't remember these specific
numbers.
So
worries.
When I look sideways, I'm not trying to dodge the camera because I'm lying. marketing is all about not telling the entire truth.
Of course.
We see phenomenal C++ usage. In terms of the languages, it's in the client, server, and mobile spaces. It is the most popular language that Microsoft ships. Compared to C Sharp, VB, F Sharp, it's the most popular language. We see stuff like 46% of developers aged 18 to 29 who are working on client applications. So those developers, 18 to 29, building client apps, 46% of them use C++.
Nice.
And this is I'm sending this data around to everyone because, people have this view that this C++ world was this, bunch of old guys, in striped shirts and suspenders with, facial hair and all that.
They all look like Bjarne.
Yeah. we're all these crusty old guys and that. And, you're seeing 46% of 18 to 29-year-old devs using C++. So that's client. What about mobile? Mobile includes, things like iPhone and Android and that. 43% of the 18 to 29 bracket, so that there's this incredible market out there of people that use it. And we're now starting to get a bunch of numbers come in that really support, Mohsen and Craig's comments around we being this sort of dark matter of the universe. Mm-hmm. We're shining a little bit of light on that in terms of our internal data.
Excellent. And so one of the things that, as we are in this new age of, I was been at the company for a while as well, the new age of communicating only when we actually have something that we know we're actually going to pull out of the oven and deliver. That's a relatively new phenomenon at Microsoft. Now, in your world, C++ developers who, you know, one could argue maybe haven't had as high priority as, say, the managed world over the past 10 years, although you guys have done great work. The Visual C++ compiler is excellent. Our debugger is excellent. The IDE is lacking. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about how you, since you've come into this, and you've always been good with communicating with the community. I mean, I've read your emails on the MVPA list. You're very honest, very transparent, but you do so in such a way that you don't say, hey, this is what we think we're going to do.
Right.
Talk to me about this.
You know, it's... I started at Microsoft back in January of 1990, you know, and we've gone through, I've been through, I think this is my second time around the wheel in terms of what do we share with people, you know, and that sort of thing. And there's always this, we want to tell people more, you know, because at the start of every product cycle, you know, every new product at the start of product cycle, when you're on the whiteboard saying, hey, we could do this, we could do this, this thing looks like, you know, awesome. It's like, you know, it's going to cure cancer. It's going to solve hunger. It's like, you know, everyone wants this stuff. And you're all super excited about it. You know, but software development, you know, even though they call it software engineering, you know, it's not really engineering discipline per se. It's all of that with this art of development in it, you know, and people look at stuff, and because it's an art, you know, and you've got problems, and you're thinking up ways to solve it, and you're expressing it. Now, you do it with proper management, and work item trade, and blah, 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 you know, but sometimes you guess to, you know, oh, yeah, I thought that was 3 weeks of work, it actually turned out to be 8 weeks of work, and suddenly you run out of time to deliver things, and so, you know, you're cutting stuff.
Sure.
You know, and so... We used to be in a situation where, you know, I'd tell you that, oh, yeah, we plan to build this feature in our product. Mm-hmm. And you'd go, great, excellent, that's exactly the feature I want. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, two-thirds of the way through the product cycle, I'd have to tell you, it's like, you know, Charles, it's we're not going to do it this time around. You know, it was a lot more work than we thought. We're going to have to cut it. Mm-hmm. You know, And the first couple of times I do that to you, you're all understanding, you
sure.
know, and you're like, got it. You know, fourth or fifth time we do that, it's like, you know, it's like, we hate you, you know, it's pitchforks and burning torches time, you know.
Yes.
And so it's a pendulum, you know, and we swung the pendulum to the other side, we're like, not telling you anything, you know. End of March, we'll be at, we'll have officially entered M3. So we can guarantee that anything we delivered in M2 is actually going to make the product, you know. And so I can start to talk to you about stuff that was in M2.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, okay, yeah, we've written, built it, tested it, done, signed off,
excellent.
You know, printed the T-shirt, right? But I'm not telling you anything about the start of that. I'm not getting any feedback from you. You know, I'm saying, here is the feature. Mm-hmm. And then you use it when we give the beta out, and you go, well, this is terrible. You know, it's like it's slow, it doesn't... And now we're like, oh, now we've got to take a bunch of time to modify it and all that. So what you want to try and do is to sort of swing back and get a happy medium between what we can tell without misleading you. Like, I honestly don't want people to make a business decision about committing to our compiler, to our tool set, mm-hmm. based on a feature that I say could be in the product. You know, it's when I tell you that the feature's in the product... It's like, look, you know, 95% certain, you know, and that 5% comes down to an argument of would we slip RTM to make sure we finish the feature, mm-hmm. you know, and so we're thinking about that sort of level of commitment to the feature stuff, and you know, in the C++ community, you know, over many years we've sort of had active neglect, we've sort of, you know, vacillated between are we building a tool for our internal use. Are we building it for the top 10 ISVs? Are we an academic product? Are we internal use? You know, it's...
Yeah, sure.
We've lost some of the trust that's involved with the community in keeping, you know, and to be able to say that, look, 95%, you know, little risk because nothing's risk-free, but 95%, I'm going to tell you about it, you know, and you can trust me that we'll do the right thing on that. So what we want to do over the coming year is to get to that point where what I can do is during the process, or not necessarily me, but, you know, some, either me or somebody from the dev team, you know, can go up to our blog site and say, hey, I want to tell you about a brand new set of stuff that we're doing, you know, and lay it out to you and then say, you know, what do you guys think? You know, let's drill in a little bit, show you some screenshots, you know, talk about it, have a thread on that post, mm-hmm. get your feedback, you know, we can action on it. But we can talk to you about it in a way that's, you know, we don't feel bad about misleading you that, oh yeah, I'm talking to you about something that has 10% chance of being in the product. You know, that's in our TFS worksheet that's still proposed and it's a milestone away from actual start. You know, and it's a P2, so you never really know that yeah. whether well actually if it's a P2 and you're M3 you're not doing it. But you know, it's like the you don't know, you know, whether we're gonna do it. So I don't want to do that. And this is part of about rebuilding the trust, I think, with the community. Now, we have to contrast that with, you know, the elephant in the room in terms of the open source community development. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone can see what the GCC guys are doing. You know, there's a mailing list, they can subscribe to it and so on. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's true. You know, it's like, yeah, they can, but the average developer gets absolutely zero ability to extract whether or not something has been implemented, whether there's a risk in an implementation mm-hmm. over the period of time, unless they actually know the process and the people and all that sort of thing. You know, there's probably people that are going to throw stuff at me and say, like, that's completely wrong. You know, so I have, the point that I'm making is yes. that you need to have some understanding of the process and that. And I think we can match some of the transparency. You know, the open source community is great in the sense that, you know, you know, you have 100% transparency. You know, unless the dev that's working on the project hasn't checked stuff in and hasn't told anyone, you know, you sort of have 100% transparency. I think we can get within the realms of the disclosure gates that we have, we can approach some of that and still have confidence and rebuild the trust.
Excellent. I mean, you know, let's look at a recent sort of thing. If you look at what IE9 did, mm-hmm. and you can be damn well assured that the IE9 team is not going to be disclosing anything before they should.
Right.
So the way they went about doing it is they did this sort of regimented, programmed, here's something we're actually going to do, play around with it and tell us what you think. You guys don't have the luxury of releasing Visual Studio sort of, what were they called, experimental releases
right,
every
yeah.
6 months.
Right.
Not realistic, can't do that.
Right. We tried the CTP model in the AUKUS timeframe, where what we did was we produced these, we sort of said, okay, at the end of this, our milestones were broken into half. So at the end of half a milestone, when the teams did a sort of mid-milestone check-in and tests and blah, 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 we sort of snapped the resultant product at that point and put it into a VM and shipped it out on the web. And we had phenomenal downloads. The first CTP for AUKUS we shipped, we had 300,000 downloads of people grabbing that. What we found, though, was that because we didn't do any stabilization work on the product, people really couldn't use it. You know, they could try a feature out. You know, you could do Hello World and you do that. But after a while, the bulk of people that wanted to play with things because of the lack of stabilization weren't really able to give us actionable feedback on the product. And so rather than just throwing stuff over the wall, we just, you know, we said, well, this release, we're sort of constrained. We're doing a lot of stuff in a short period of time. So let's get our heads down. Let's produce a set of bits, give them to you, and at that point, you know, Charles, here's our beta. Mm-hmm. Please use it. Tell us what it. But before we get to the beta, I'm going to tell you about stuff that I've done in the IDE, and I'm going to get your feedback on that. I'm going to tell you stuff that new features that we might have added. I'm going to talk about, you know, what we're doing in this space. You know, what about our language support? You know, I'm going to have a discussion with you uh-huh. And by me, I mean the whole team.
Of course.
You know, I'm going to have a discussion with the community around all of these things. So while you can't try it, I hope that we'll still be able to foster a nice conversation and build a better product at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that brings us to the an interesting sort of conversation. The developer universe is very opinionated, and which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. Developers are very smart, and they want to essentially think there's a sense out there that we don't move fast enough. Like, they'll say, hey, guys, you know, the IDE has not been what I've wanted since VC6, man. Oh, and now you guys are on 10. No, but no offense. But and so it's like, you know, are you really listening? I mean, we've told you for now about 10 years. So how do you, in your role, how do you manage that sort of very honest and open feedback?
Yeah, this is part of the, you know, it comes back to some of that trust discussion. You know, what we want to set up is we want to set up this pragmatic, real-world discussion with people.
Okay.
You know, because we don't have unlimited resources. You know, sure, we're Microsoft, and everyone thinks, wow, that's, you know, like 7 million devs sequestered in Seattle. Or it's like, no, you know, if they are, they're not working on our product. You know, it's, you know, we don't have unlimited resources. We have a lot of different masters. The C++ team is especially constrained by this, you know, because we produce the tooling and the compilers that Windows uses, that Office uses, that SQL Server uses, you know, that we use ourselves to build our product. So we've got to do a bunch of stuff just simply to enable these next generation platforms and tooling before we can even start saying, okay, well, what are we doing ourselves, you know?
Exactly.
And so we're sort of constrained there. And you know, the lack of trust and the lack of clear communication with customers, you know, has engendered sort of a rock-throwing environment, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, just look at the standard stuff, for example. You know, we went out in Dev 10 and we implemented a number of C++ OX features. You know, and we're committed to implementing the standard. You know, but you know, are we going to implement 100% of it? Well, you know, it depends. Mm-hmm. You know, can I have a discussion with you? You know, I want to have a discussion with you to say, mm-hmm. you know, let's assume I can't implement 100% of that. What is the most important parts? You know, and this pragmatic realist discussion, it's like, hey, you build software. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you start every cycle with a bunch of features that you want to put in your product, and you cut stuff. You get, you know, it's just what happens. Things change. You know, the corporation says, no, I need a different set of features. You know, when you have, you know, you end up, you know, you customers have all the same challenges that we
sure.
do. You
yes.
know? And so we want to have that discussion and say, well, you know, here's where we are on the standard. Here's what's left. Tell us what's, you know, what's important to you. And, mm-hmm. you know, we'll cover, you know, maybe all of it, some of it, none of it. I, mm-hmm. you know, can't say at this point in time, but what we don't want to have is to have, you know, the complete rock throwing discussion of, oh, unless you produce 100% compliance with the test suite for the draft standard, you are simply not listening to us, you know. And you know, we see this, you know, you look at, like, you know, we didn't implement, you know, C99 in our product, you know, it's like. And people say, well, you don't care about the C++ OX standard because you didn't implement C99. I said, well, you know, it's completely possible that we could care about the C++ OX work and yet not have C99 implemented. You know, we took pragmatic decisions. We looked at, you know, what's the dev cost to do this? What is the customer demand? You know, well, C++ OX takes in a bunch of the C99 pre-processor stuff and features from the language into it. So, you know, if we do this, are we going to, you know, and we want to have that pragmatic discussion with customers. You know, I'm never going to get there and say, you know, like, you know, everything you ask for, we will implement in a given release. Because, you know, firstly, I'm not the dev manager. I'm not the owner of the group. That was Mosen and Craig.
Sure.
But what I would like to do is to facilitate this sort of discussion and say, why don't you tell me, like, you know, if we could do five things out of the C++ OX standard that's not in the standard today, that's not in our product today, what would those five things be? You know, and if I got, you know, 30, 50 people that said, here are my list of five, and I looked at, you know, we could look at that and say, well, clearly most of the votes went for X. Mm-hmm. Are we doing X? Yes, we are. Okay, well, then the market will be happy when we can disclose that. You know, are we doing X? No, we're not. So, well, why aren't we doing it? Mm-hmm. You know, and we can have a discussion. You know, I remember many years ago, and by many years ago, I mean, you know, 2003, 2004, for the WGBI release, Visual Studio 2005, mm-hmm. I asked one of the C++ standards people, I won't name names, but very well respected internationally. I brought him here into Microsoft as part of some standards work. I was the original product manager for the C# language.
Okay.
I was one of two guys working on the framework in C# from product marketing perspective.
Dan Fernandez was there.
Dan came on after me.
Okay.
It was myself and John Montgomery. I don't know if you've done an interview with
him. Yes,
with
John. He's the JS guy now.
Yeah.
JPM, or the JavaScript person.
You know, and so around that time, we were looking to do some standards work that eventually surfaced in ECMA and became an ISO standard for C#. It was very cool. I got a chance to go to Bath and do the presentation to the technical committee on why they should start work on a C# standard, which was nice. Was quite nice. But so get back to the point rather than waxing lyrical about driving through the UK. I brought this guy in, very well respected, international name, and said, what can we do to make our standards compliance better? And even he said he would not bother implementing 100% of the C++ standard at the time. He said, well, there are bits of it that I just don't think should have been in the standard, mm-hmm. ended up. And I don't think there's any value in you spending, you know, you spend a lot of resource to get them, mm-hmm. very little customer return. You know, it's that asymptotic curve thing, you know.
Sure.
And I think that's where we'll end up with some of these things. You know, we want to do a better job, but the way to do a better job is not to say, you know, we're going to do 100% mm-hmm. of the standard. You know, we might, but, mm-hmm. you know, the thing is to have this pragmatic discussion and say, tell me what are the most important things, and I will... You know, if I can make 80% of the market, 96%, 95% happy, great. You know, I think that's sort of a win.
Sure.
You know, obviously, you want to make 100% of the market 100% happy, but you have to be realistic. No, you know, it's unlikely to achieve all of that.
Certainly. I mean, and again, if you go back to, you know, to look at another standard, which of course, you know, there's standards everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, the greatest thing about standards is there's so many of them. Right?
Right.
So we have the JavaScript, the ECMAScript standard. We have the HTML5 or the HTML standard, blah, blah, blah. All of these things going on. And, you know, I guess looking from the outside in as a developer, of course, I'm not the outside in. I work at Microsoft. But I could put that hat on for a second. You know, when you say things such as, like, resources and things, and this is sort of a harsh Q&A mm-hmm. question, but there really is no answer, but I want to ask it anyway.
Okay.
It's Channel 9.
Sure.
So, you know, if you look at it, you know, in your world, you're going to have a compiler that, you know, the GCC, for example, let's say that they implement 100% of the, and that's not guaranteed, but let's say they do, 100% of C++ OX. Regardless of whether or not 2% or so of the features are actually ever really going to be used in production, but they just want to implement it all.
Right.
The question I would ask you is, do they have more dev resources than we do?
The question the response I would make would be to ask you what trade-offs they made.
Mm.
Right? Because it's not that they necessarily had. They might. It's open source. You know, it's a, you know, maybe just, you know, in their push for 100% standards compliance, they had 37,000, you know, compiler people sign up to implement stuff. You know, you don't know.
Sure.
Right? The thing is to say, you know, it's all trade-off. You know, if the GCC guys, and I'm not saying they will, because they produce a good product.
Yes,
you know?
They do.
But if they said, well, 100% standards compliant is important to us, they're going to trade something off. Are they trading off code size? Are they trading off performance? Are they trading off, you know, which instruction sets they cover? You know, it's they will have made trade-offs. Everyone does. You know, this is why you can't go out there and buy a $12,000, you know, Ferrari GT590, whatever the car is. Yeah, because you can build a Ferrari. Surprisingly enough, it costs Ferrari about $150,000 to build that car. You know, and it costs Ford, you know, $10,000 to build a, you know, a Fusion.
Sure.
You know, so the. There are trade-offs. Everyone has trade-offs. And that's part of the discussion that we'd like to have with people, mm-hmm. is to say that, you know, we want to, you know, we want to have this realistic, pragmatic discussion. I keep using those words.
Great.
Because I want you to, to be honest with both yourself and myself and say, yeah, I get it. Everyone has limited resources. I don't have it. You don't have it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so putting aside the, it would be, in a perfect world, we should be able to implement 100% of the standard and still have the highest performance code and the smallest size and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is I'm now going to tell you, well, my day-to-day job, the code I use, I need you to implement these three things. Mm-hmm. And if you did those three things, you'd make me really happy. Okay. And that's what that's really what we want to hear. Now, we're talking a lot about the compiler. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear it across the entire product. You know,
sure.
When we're able to talk about the IDE, you know, it's... A lot of people said, you know, well, you need the MFC class wizard. And it's like, yes, absolutely correct. You know, we needed it. We put it in the product, you know. And then, you know, people said, well, you didn't do everything in the MFC class wizard that the old MFC class wizard did. It's like, okay, what are the features we're missing? Are we going to, you know, and then we'll look at it and we'll say, you know, okay, you know, yes, we missed. This is a highly requested feature. We'd like to do that. Sometimes you just have to say no. You know, and that's part of the pragmatic discussion. It's like, I'm saying no because we can't do it. We don't have the resources to do that and something else. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't necessarily tell you what the something else is at this stage, mm-hmm. but I'm saying no, and I want you to, you know, I want to have a relationship with you that enables you to say, okay, I get it. You're saying no, not because you hate me, mm-hmm. but because it's just the real world, mm-hmm. you know, and... I'd like us to get to that point again with the community where we could have these discussions, you know.
Sure.
And hopefully over the next 12 months, my the team and myself and, mm-hmm. you know, that will work through our community portals and things like Channel 9 to say, come tell us this, have this discussion, listen to what we say. Mm-hmm. We're real people in a real world job, in a real company, mm-hmm. just like you are. And we want you to tell us with that perspective what, you know, you think we should do better.
Excellent. So today, I mean, where can people, you know, there's the mailing list, but that's sort of the MVP mailing list. That's very, very important group of people, but they don't necessarily represent the dark matter.
Right.
In fact, they're actually parts of the galaxy that are shining lots of light in our direction so we can see them. It's a beautiful group of people.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Now, what about for other folks who just want to randomly come at you? Are we going to give them your email address? I mean, where do they come and interact in this fashion without knowing how to reach us?
I used to give people my email address on in events like this. But at one point in time there, I was the product manager for Visual J++ here at Microsoft. And so I was part of the team trying to kill the dream of Java. So after it being signed up to a vast array of different spam sites, it's like I now prefer not to... to sort of post my email address. It does make outside counsel and document retention much more interested in my email, though, because they get a bunch of stuff they won't get at work.
Sure.
You know, being some very, you know, some prom sites personally. But the best way to do it, we're trying to, you know, it's some of the VC properties have sort of atrophied. Mm-hmm. On the vine, you know, we had a core group of people that did a bit of interaction at the VC blog site, and we occasionally updated it and did stuff in our dev center and so on. You know, we've looked at all that, and we're in the process of refocusing. We're investing a lot of time and effort over the next few weeks to work out, you know, where do we need to participate in the broader C++ community? You know, we want the VC blog to be a well-read blog site. We'd like our dev center to be a very popular dev center for our C++ users. You know, so come to the blog when, you know, there are posts that are relevant, new information about the product, you know, as we get to sort of, you know, yeah, I'm 95% certain, we'll put a feature in, we'll post that information on the blog. And, you know, you can come and reply to that thread, and, you know, we'll capture those things up. We want to, you know, post stuff back, and, you know, another article, say, well, here are the top sort of questions, let me explain those. As interesting stuff comes out of that. The MVP alias is outstanding. I love those guys. You know, you get a vast array of interesting stuff there. And that's mineable too. You know, when one of these MVPs asks a question about language design and another answers something, well, it's, you know, some, they've had some incredibly interesting conversations about that. You know, we should package something like that up and post it to the blog and so on. But, you know, we don't want the VC blog to be, you know, the one blog to rule them all and in darkness bind them.
Sure.
You know, we want to, you know, where else should we go? You know, Stack Overflow gets a bunch of C++ questions. So we're looking at, well, how do we go there? And, you know, and if you have a C++ question about a Microsoft compiler product, you know, how do we from the dev team help answer that?
Absolutely.
Where else do we go? Is there gaming developer resources? A lot of those guys are all native code. How do we, you know, help them out? Over the next sort of month, the next couple of months, we're really looking to basically refresh our entire community involvement and solve that problem, you know, or at least attempt to solve that problem around getting people and getting information out and creating this sort of feedback cycle that occurs.
Sure. That's great. Of course, you guys have had a happy home on Channel 9. And I'd love to be able to go and talk to him. I love talking to Mohsen. He's such a smart guy, very articulate, very passionate. Craig as well. I'd love to get those guys on camera again, some sort of regular cadence where it's like, hey, where are we now? What's going on? What do you, you know, what do you want to talk about? That would be wonderful.
Absolutely. You know, those guys are helping, you know, lead the direction that, you know, the product and the tool set and things are going to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they really do want to have this community connection. You know, it's easy for somebody to, you know, I'm the chief architect, you know, I lock myself in my corner office and, you know, I make decisions on the value of things that are in front of me. And I don't want to speak to a customer because they, you know, disturb my architectural purity. You know, Craig and Mohsen really want to hear from customers, you know, and, you know, they want to get that feedback. Now, you know, are you going to see them reply in a, you know, they post on Channel 9, are you going to see them reply in the book? No, but you might see somebody like Boris.
Yeah,
who works for Craig, you know, you'll post a comment on Craig's, you know, statements in the video, and Boris will post back in there, you know, and talk to you and have a discussion with people in the thread group.
Absolutely.
And then that information, you know, when we go to meetings internally, you know, we share that information around, and, you know, we look at how people, you know, what the feedback is, what the feeling is. You know, and getting that reaction, whether or not Craig posts back or Mohsen posts back, there, you know, if they post back to everyone that might post him a question, it's sort of like, you know, asking the president to post back to everyone that might mail him a letter.
Exactly.
Or head of state, because, you know, people not viewing
it. They're busy guys, man. I mean, right. They have a lot to do.
But we want to get, you know, you have a question, let's answer that, you know.
Agreed.
And in your threads on Channel 9, you know, if stuff comes up, and you're like, hey, that's great. Yeah, write it down, come back, ask us, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
We're certainly going to take advantage of Channel 9 to put what visual stuff out we can around, you know, the videos and so on. And as we get a product that we can run and sort of the UI, part of the challenge with tooling is you don't want to show a visual of something that you know will change.
Absolutely.
Later on, you know, if you have a designer or a layout, you're like, yeah, this sort of sucks at the moment, but it does because I'm using the previous framework, the visual framework, because they haven't checked in the new visual framework yet. It might be a new feature, but we don't necessarily want to show you a visual of that.
Sure.
Because you're not really, you know, the feedback you will tell us will be that the visual sort of sucks. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know that. You know, we would like to maybe wait until we get that. But when it becomes appropriate, we'll absolutely work with John Lai. It's been one of the success stories, I think, here in Microsoft.
That's cool. And just one last thing. I mean, unlike VB and C Sharp, C++ is one of those languages where I know a lot of native developers, mm-hmm. and I saw a thread on Reddit that fortunately somebody blogged about the Mohsen and mm-hmm. Craig thing on Reddit programming.
All right.
There was an argument between the author and some other dude about my having written that C++ as native code. It is, in my opinion, but I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. But I think that the important point that I wanted to make is, I know a lot of guys and a few girls, women, native programmers, they don't use integrated, complex
right.
IDEs. They're using like TextPad, man, and they have macros that they've yeah. built to insert things and do various things. I mean, so whereas it's important to have a focus on the IDE,
yeah.
which is where you guys are lacking most right now, from the community's perspective, it's still pretty modern and amazing. The thing that Mohsen talked about at the end was sort of the modern C++ from a language and compiler and debugger perspective.
Yeah. yeah.
Where I'm going to be doing stuff on the command line anyway, man.
Right.
So that's an interesting, because all I'm trying to say is yours is a different challenge than you had when you were the product manager of C#.
Right.
C# without the IDE.
Yeah.
It's certainly nice to always have IntelliSense.
I was joking today that what we need is one of those work signs that says, it has been 6 days since our last flame war. Previous record was 102.
Sure.
Something like that. The beauty of the C++ community mm-hmm. is that they, do have this passionate commitment to the language.
Yes.
And, our team has that same passionate commitment to the language. You can see Stephen's talks about the STL.
And, yes.
And that he has this passionate commitment to the language. And it isn't the language of years ago. Mm-hmm. It's changed and grown up. Excuse me. While a lot of a lot of people first entered C++, and some of the community would argue still do, they basically treat it as C with classes. Mm-hmm. The language is in and of itself a very modern language now, with some easy to use syntactical expressions to go and do tasks. Mm-hmm. And we want to surface that understanding of the beauty of the language. On the flip side, we're also seeing a change in the community that uses C++, the type of applications they're building. Mm-hmm. You are seeing, if you look out there today, you're seeing these applications that are getting built that, for want of a better term, sort of have a modeled user interface. And I'm not talking about the classic UML or a data model or so on. They have a model of the real world. Take your phone, and you've got those little rotator buttons, mm-hmm. and you flip them, and they have a bit of friction involved with them, and they spin fast at the start and slow down, and mm-hmm. so on. There's a little physics, you can imagine, there's a little physics engine behind
Absolutely.
Those things. So when we say model, we mean like a 3D model or a game model that has, environment and physics and views and looks and so on, all about that. And you're seeing examples of things like the augmented reality, sort of a subset of this modeled user interface type application. You're seeing these great augmented reality applications that are doing phenomenal things and are creating, using this sort of where natural user interface people would like to get to in the future. If you would get a chance, if everyone gets a chance, go out and have a look. It's a little shout out to a company called Word. I don't know what they're called, but the app they produce is WordLens. Mm-hmm. If you go to YouTube and search for WordLens, you look at this app, and this app is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. For what it does on mobile, it's on an iPhone, on a mobile device, it's doing a bunch of stuff that 5 years ago you couldn't do.
Sure.
But it has this user interface and this expressivity to it. And not just that app, but all these apps that are driving people towards tools. You know, you'll still have, if I want to build, write C++ code, I can still use Notepad. I can text edit, Vi, Emacs.
Exactly.
Don't want to, I've forgotten some. I don't want to get in a flame war.
No flame wars since
over that. I was the guy that cut brief support from the IDE for a while. That went down well. You have this real world sort of rich natural application type user experience with these apps. Mm-hmm. And so on one hand you've got this developer who wants this low impedance, I write text, it compiles my executable, runs. Mm-hmm. To the far end where you've got, I have this rich environment, I want shades and textures and 3D models and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the in the managed world, it's like I want bland.
Yeah.
And so we have this incredible marketplace that covers that entire thing. And you know what ties all of that together? Mm-hmm. The C++ language. And that comes back to the point. We want to get across that we are invested in the language because it provides this ability for power and performance. Mm-hmm. It unlocks this future type of application that's modeled and rich and native, in its UI, but it also works perfectly for people that care about the power. I want a fast, small, stuff. So it's an exciting time, I think, to be in it. And over this next sort of 6 to 8 month period, we'll come back to you and we'll come back to our blog and to the community. Mm-hmm. And Craig and Mosen talked about a renaissance. Mm-hmm. We have to show you that it's not just a word. It's not I didn't just come up with it, but in a set of focus groups and say, Craig Mosen used the term renaissance because it polls well. No, we think our data shows, that some of the data I showed you shows the usage of C++, that dark matter. We love the language. We think we have this incredible opportunity. Things that C++ developers can do that no one else can. Native code developers can do that no one else can. And this new market of these incredibly innovative apps that have to be enabled by native code. You can't do them in managed environments and things. And so we're very excited about that, and we think that's an indication of the renaissance of the language. Mm-hmm. What we have to do now is to show that we understand that. We're building the product for you. We're listening to you. We're acting on your concerns and continually talk to you and have that virtuous cycle of discussion over from now until RTM. Excellent. And then post RTM, obviously, on the next version.
Totally. Excellent, man. Well, hey, it's great to meet you. Great to have you on the C++ team, and this is going to be a very interesting future.
Look forward to it.
Totally, and we'll come back, and anytime you got something to say, let me know.
Great. We'll do it.
Right on, man. Speak up, Niners.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.